Our scripture this morning comes from Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to open them as I read. Follow along on words that you may not recognize because I'm reading from the clear word. Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. How do we know that the time has come for us to be free from the tutoring of the function of the law? Because God has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts, we, like Christ, may call him my Father. We no longer need to be managed as if we were still children, having to be taught and told what is right. Instead, we are to behave like mature sons and daughters of God and heirs through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all those that are able, I would invite you to kneel as we pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this Sabbath day that we can come here to worship you together. As a corporate body, we ask that you would be with us as we study your word more, as we learn more about how you are calling us your children. Father, we don't want to be slaves, and so we ask that you would open our minds and hearts to your word. This morning we ask that you would be with each one who is present, be with all of those who are not able to be here. Some are at home watching online. Some may be visiting other churches. We pray that you would give each one a very special blessing. Be with Pastor Don and Ruth as they are in Ashland. We pray for that church also, that they will be blessed by the word he gives them. Father, we lift up the Sabo family today as they are mourning the loss of Charlene. We ask that you would comfort each one. And we ask also that you would be with Eurydice as he brings us the word, that he will share with us the things that we need to hear, that we will take all of this to our hearts, that we would go out and share them with others. Father, be with us today. Keep us in your care. Help us to keep a prayer in our hearts at all times, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath. I'm really happy to be here today. It's been a while. You didn't get my sermon last month because I was feeling sick. But I am feeling well today, thanks God. I'm really happy to be able to share his word. Once again, Sarah and Ray, happy early birthday. We're so happy to have you and to celebrate with you. Now, Sarah, if I told you that this sermon is going to be your birthday present, I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't, if there's something that is confusing, then you let me know when you get a second birthday present, which will be a second part of the sermon. Now, please understand everything. I don't want to preach a second part of the sermon. I hope everything is clear today. No longer slaves. Freedom in Christ. According to the letter of to the Galatians. Today's sermon is, we're going to be seeing slavery, but I want to talk more about freedom in Jesus. Because when we look at the word slavery, everything that comes to our minds is possibly not good. It's suffering, it's sadness, oppression, people hurting. There's nothing good in that. There's nothing good in slavery. So why should I emphasize slavery over freedom in Jesus? So yes, we're going to be looking at the word, and we're going to be looking at the concept of slavery. But we want to see Jesus in it and the freedom that he brings to our hearts and to our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath. And once again, we want to ask for your presence and your love to be with us. May we feel you and may we hear you through the Bible. And may we learn from you and just remember how much you love us and that you have set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are several stories we can use from the Bible that are a good example of freedom in Jesus, or how Jesus paid for us. And thank you so much, Dave, for that children's story. I think it went perfect, goes perfect with the sermon. Because we are free. But from all of these stories that we can use as examples of freedom in Jesus, one that really calls my attention is the prodigal son, found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 and 4. And I'm going to read some of it. It says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he wasted everything he had. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then his son said to his father, 'I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." And what were they celebrating in this occasion is the question. The son was the rightful son of his dad, and he asked for everything that rightfully belonged to him. He took all his wealth and went and wasted it. And then the Bible says that he hired himself out to a citizen of the country and started working for that person because he wanted to have something to live on. But then he realized what a terrible mistake he had made. In other words, this son made himself a slave. Left everything he had, everything that was good, and exchanged it for nothing, for slavery. And so today in Galatians, we're going to be looking at how that possibly exemplifies what we do as Christians and how we are the rightful sons and daughters of God, and we're no longer slaves, and then we're free in Jesus. But then sometimes we exchange that freedom for slavery again, and we drift away, and we go our wrong way, and we get stuck, and we find slavery. But the good news is that there is a way back to the Father and to freedom in Jesus. So four things we're going to be looking at today. The real gospel. What is the real gospel that the Bible or Galatians presents to us? What is the most important approval that we can find? We're going to see that we're no longer slaves, and therefore we're free. And number four is that that brings us to freedom in Jesus. So first, the background of the book of Galatians, this letter that Paul wrote. What is Galatians mostly known for? Galatians is mostly known for the law in Galatians. We've seen choralies, and we have heard sermons, and we have read books, and everything about the law in Galatians, because, you know, the law versus faith, and, you know, faith and works, and that debate that we have in our Christian community, Galatians talks about it. And so Galatians is really popular for having explanations that clarify what we believe about works and about faith. But we also find the gospel of grace and how Jesus saved us through grace. But we also have the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And every time I'm preaching, I like reading this list, but I have a problem with it. Because every time I read this list, every single part of the fruit of the Spirit, I want to stop on it and then give an explanation. And that probably requires several sermons on it, and I can't. So I refuse to read the list. I can reference it if I need it, but I refuse to read the list, otherwise I'll get in trouble. But Galatians, we get the fruit of the Spirit, and we also get freedom in Jesus. And today we're going to be seeing that, freedom in Jesus. What happened is that Paul was traveling, and he was going through the region where these churches in Galatia, were. And besides him being sick, he started to preach. And so he converted this group of people that founded the churches of Galatia. And then he left. They got the gospel from Paul. They got salvation through faith. And then living a Christian life that will produce the fruit of the Spirit. But then he heard back from someone that they were going back, or they were following a different gospel. And so he writes this letter to them, and he's trying to explain what the real gospel is. It's not what they were going for. After he preached Jesus Christ to them in the real gospel, and they abandoned that teaching for a different teaching that wasn't the gospel, he said, okay, let's make something straight. I'm going to write this letter to you, and I want to explain something very clear. So for us to understand what Paul is trying to tell to the people of Galatia, we have to understand the meaning of the word gospel, which, according to the dictionary, is the teaching or revelation of Christ, which may or may not be correct. But if you go to the dictionary, this is what you find: the teaching or revelation of Christ. And why do I say that this may or may not be correct? If we take a look, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really not gospel at all. And I have my three dots in there because it continues, but I want to pause here. Paul says, I am astonished. This is unbelievable that you are so quickly, after I left there, you are drifting away. You're going away from the real gospel that I taught you, which is Jesus Christ, and you're going to a different gospel, and it's no gospel at all. I went and searched in the original, in the Greek, and the gospel. The word gospel is evangelion, which means the good news of the coming of the Messiah. The good news of the coming of Jesus Christ.
And so it's not just the teaching of Jesus. It's the good news that Jesus Christ came to save, that Jesus Christ came to redeem, that Jesus Christ came to free people from slavery. That is the real meaning of the gospel. And so Paul is saying, anything that you are learning, anything that you are following, anything that you're proclaiming right now that is outside of the real meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ is wrong. It's not gospel at all. And the rest of that verse 7 says, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, what was the problem? If you want to know what the problem was, go and read chapter 5 and 6 of Galatians. We don't have time to read all of this, and I'm struggling to managing to finish this sermon on time today. Go read those two chapters, and you'll see what the real problem was. And I'm going to mention it briefly, but I don't want to emphasize that either. I want to emphasize freedom in Jesus. But they were in this problem. And then on verse 9, he says, as we have already, this is all chapter 1, as we have already said, so now I say again, this is because he said that in verse 8, and so he's repeating again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that, what you accepted, let them be under God's course. I can see that Paul is almost angry in here. If anyone is preaching to you any other gospel than the one you accepted when I went there and taught you, let that happen on the God's course. You're being cursed. It's not good, not bueno. This is serious. And so that leads me to think that sometimes when we exchange the gospel of Christ for any other teaching that is not what the Bible teaches, we're possibly under that curse as well. And we're causing ourselves to be cursed. When we abandon the Father's house, just like the prodigal son, we're exchanging that freedom, we're exchanging that gospel, that message that Jesus, the Messiah, came to save us and to rescue us. We put ourselves under that curse. Now, the second thing we're seeing today, the most important approval. Who are you following? Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to imitate? Last weekend, I was invited over to the Spanish church for a Vespers program on Friday evening. And the theme was following in Jesus' footsteps. And so they invited me to share and to choose a topic from the Bible to share with them, going with that. But they had a very interesting activity before I spoke. And the activity was they had several celebrities, sport and actors and actresses and singers and people who are well known. And they asked this question. If you had the chance to meet this celebrity, which may or may not be your favorite person in the world that you follow, maybe you follow it on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, whatever social media you have. If you met that person face to face, which questions will you ask? And so they divided the church into groups, and everyone was brainstorming, and questions were like, if it was a sport person, how do you get so good at playing that sport? What do you do? What are the things that you have to give up? And we had all sorts of questions. Someone even asked for money. Will you give me some money? One of the questions they had. And at the end of the activity, the leader stood up and said, if we had the chance to see Jesus face to face, will you ask him the same questions? Will you ask Jesus to give you some money? Will you ask Jesus to go on a date with you? Will you ask Jesus, what is it that he does to be so good at what he does? what would you ask Jesus if you saw him face to face? Sometimes we just want to follow, and we want to even act and dress and speak like those people who we follow, who influence our lives. But see, if we are true followers of Jesus, it's going to be hard to be approved by the world. And this is my next point that we're going to lay out here from Galatians. If we are true followers of Jesus, when we present ourselves to the world, we're not going to be looked upon like a good person. I'm sorry. It's not what the world does these days. Verse 10 in that chapter says, I am now trying to win the approval. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God? Or am I trying to please people? Who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to get the approval of? Who are we imitating? I was just saying that it's really nice the thought of, you know, being well known and being recognized and just walking somewhere into a place and you know, being greeted with like respect and love and be like, everyone wants to be recognized and be loved and be accepted. But when we want to be approved and we want to be loved and recognized that much, and we put that above being a Christian and above our values and beliefs, that's when we fall into the danger of going the wrong way and in following the wrong gospel. And so Paul is telling the Galatians in here, you're probably just trying to follow this new teaching because you want the approval. Now, I don't want the approval. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings? Or the approval of God? Who are you trying to be approved by or for? Like, are you trying to be a great person in the eyes of the world? Or are we trying to please people? He keeps saying, if we were still trying to please people, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And let's make something clear right here. When we try to follow someone and the beliefs of that person and the point of view of that person, and we forget about what the Bible says, we're falling into danger of following something that is not true. And when we do that, we're trying to be approved by humans. And when we do that, we're not servants of Christ anymore. Therefore, we have to abandon things that we want, because that, as we're going to see moving forward, comes from the flesh. And then that's why Galatians mentions the works of the flesh, because that's what the flesh wants. But the fruit of the Spirit is different. And when we want the fruit of the Spirit, then we are true followers of Jesus Christ. And it's going to show when we really give up to all the desires of our heart and all the desires of our flesh and follow Jesus Christ, then we become his servants. But it is not possible to be servants and followers of other people, because the Bible says so. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And the right context of Matthew 6:24 is that last part, serving God and money, when he's talking about the lamp of the body and the eye, and how we can people try to do two things and be in light and darkness at the same time. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot be followers both of people in the world who will influence us and try and convince us to have beliefs that are not according to what the Bible teaches, and still be good and be right with God. Just as Paul said before, if he did that, he would not be a servant of Christ. Again, if you want to know what the main problem was and what Paul was arguing against, read chapter 5 and 6 completely, and you'll understand. Now,
When we look at this verse, let's move to our next point. We're no longer slaves. Who is your father? Who is your father? God, Jesus. He is our father, just like in the story of the prodigal son. He is the father. Sometimes we leave the house, we exchange our freedom and our wealth for nothing, and we become slaves again. Who is our father? After Paul makes his point that if he gave up his beliefs for a different belief that is not the gospel, he will not be a servant of God. He goes on to talk about the law and justification by faith and, you know, works and how we are sons and heirs of God. We are no longer slaves. And when we say that statement, there are several things that come to my mind. And one of them is, for example, slavery in the United States. We have the 13th Amendment. It says the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution provides that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. 1865, led by Abraham Lincoln, the country finally abolished slavery. And we look throughout history and we go back to the Bible times, to the very beginning, and even God's people were slaves in Egypt. And before that, slavery has been a thing. And this is when we bring the real gospel. Because when we start reading Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And so let us notice a couple of things in here. We are sons and daughters of God. We are all sons and daughters of God. In this statement, in these two verses, Paul is laying out the real gospel that he's trying the Church of Galatians to understand. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have the Trinity in here. And we know that there are movements out there against the Holy Spirit or against some congregations that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God but created by God, which is confusing according to what the Bible says. But we know by what the Bible says that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one, the same person, and three persons at the same time. Hard to understand this concept. But this is the gospel. And God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so we can call him Father, so that we're no longer slaves. And the slavery Paul is referring here is not political slave. It's not that we are slaves and we're subject to a master that have to work physically, but spiritually. And that is the main point people missed back in the days. Because they thought that Jesus would come as a political leader and to free them from the Romans and to become a governor and to become this political authority who will give them power and who will give them goods and will give them freedom. It wasn't about political freedom. It was and it has always been about spiritual freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from suffering, freedom from everything that is bad, that is within our hearts. We are no longer slaves, but we are God's children. And because we are his children, we also are his heir. So, when we look at this, Paul is really funny, and something I want to mention is if you keep reading of chapter 4, on verse 22, he goes on to compare, slavery versus freedom, and he talks about Abraham and how he had two sons, and one was from the slave woman, and the other one by the free woman. This is, in my opinion, I don't know why Paul was so much into this. This is like a sermon he's preaching in this part of the chapter. And it's like a theme that's going on in the book of Galatians, because in chapter 3, he's also referring to Abraham, the father of faith, and how he's explaining that we are sons of faith and that we are rescued from slavery by faith and not by work. Basically, what he was trying to explain to them. And then he goes on back to Abraham again on verse 22. And not only Abraham, but his two wives, how he had two sons, one from a slave woman and one from a free woman. And if you read that, we probably don't have to read that. If we read that, we can find how... Sorry, I lost my notes. A second. Are my notes? We can see how he compares Hagar and the son that was born to her as the one who was born, because she was a slave, basically, to Abraham. So that's the son that was born to slavery. But then the son to Sarah, that's one that the son of the promise, and that's the son of God. That's the one who was raised. That's the one who was promised and has given all the freedom. But when we believe in God, he rescues from slavery. We're not to stay as slaves, as sons of Hagar, but as sons of Sarah, the one who gave birth to the son of the promise, the son that was born as a free son. And God rescues from that slavery and brings us into his house. If you read the rest of chapter 4, you're going to see how Paul explains, hey, this is, we're not supposed to stay as slaves. We're supposed to be free. And then he makes his point, freedom in Jesus. And the question was to them, do you want to be free? And the question is to us as well this today, do we want to be free in Jesus? I want to be free in Jesus. When we look back to Adventist history, and I remember even when I got baptized and what I was taught in Pathfinders, the Adventist church had for a long time had been known as the people of the book. Who can tell me why? Why was the Adventist church, or what is that? People of the Bible. Because we know scripture. We know what the Bible says. We know what the gospel is. And one day, I was overhearing a conversation. I was a teenager. There was a pastor from a different denomination. I'm not going to name it, but he stated, I would never, ever argue with an Adventist Christian because they know their Bible. And I was like, whoa. That is really mind-blowing that other people, that's the concept they have, that the Adventist people, they really know the Bible. The question is, do we really know the Bible nowadays? Now, I remember when I got baptized, I was 8, almost turning 9, and they will still let us participate on Friday evening on the Youth Society, on the programs at church. And one of the activities that we had was we'll have to memorize Bible verses, and we'll stand on the tiles in the church, and we'll have like competitions competing against each other, verse by verse, tile by tile. The one who got from first, if I didn't have a verse ready by 30 seconds, the next person will say, and then we'll move forward until the person got to the front, and will win a prize. And so that. Things like that, I remember, kept us motivated to learn Bible verses, and I learned a lot of Bible verses in Pathfinders, and I remember memorizing the Sabbath school lesson verse, and all of those verses accumulated with time, and I remember saying at least 30 verses in one night. That's incredible, and some people will say more, some people will say less, and, you know, memorizing whole Psalms, and same then verse by verse.
I remember how we used to emphasize memorizing the Bible and being the people of the book. But now we have forgotten that. I don't even memorize verses anymore. And someone asked us a question, where in the Bible? And it's fair, I was that when I was in the seminary. If someone from the congregation asks you a question and you don't know where in the Bible that is found, you are allowed to say that you don't know, because guess what? You don't have the Bible memorized. You're not a walking library. So you don't have to give them an answer. Now you can tell them, I can get back to you later and try to find it and then give you an answer if I can, if I find it. That's totally fine. But still, we're encouraged to learn and to memorize and to study. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so, when we look at that verse, and we go back to what we were reading before, what the real gospel is, the real gospel is the word of God, and Jesus, the Son, that came to save us from slavery, that came to save us from sin. And when we study the Bible, we are basically when we study the Bible and when we memorize those verses, we're standing firm and not letting anything come between our knowledge of the Bible, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God, and slavery. And that burden that it is to go away from the Word of God. Again, Paul was, he was surprised. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. Anything outside than the good news of Jesus as the Messiah, no gospel at all. And so just to name it, what Paul is saying is that, if you keep reading, he goes on to mention the circumcision, which is a topic that was debated back then, and they have arguments. And should we be circumcised or should we not be circumcised? Are we going to be safe if we're not? Are we not going to be safe if we? And so they have this debate going on. And that's basically one of the main points he's trying to make since the very beginning of the book. I taught you salvation by faith, through grace in Jesus Christ, or through grace by faith in Jesus Christ. And when you're trying to run away from that and you start arguing about circumcision, you're going away from the gospel. And that is no gospel. That is a different gospel. And it is no gospel at all. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ redeeming us and saving us with his death on the cross. Like, it's meaningless. It means nothing. The question is, are we turning away from the gospel today? As a church, as a group of believers, as Christians, are we turning away from the gospel? And just, I think I have to be brave to mention I don't really like being controversial or anything, but whether you are pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, or whether you are pro-mask or anti-mask, which is not a thing anymore, but it was, whether we are pro-abortion or anti-abortion, if that is what's taking the most time, and that's what we're reading about, and that's what we're watching news about, and that's what we're focusing on so we can prove our point, that is a different gospel. And that is no gospel at all. I'm not saying that I'm in either side right now. I'm just stating. When we emphasize those topics that much, that our conversations at home or with our friends or everywhere we go just takes our time for that, and even takes more time that we spend on our knees praying in our Bible reading and studying, that is taking God's place. That is taking the place of the gospel. We're turning away from that gospel, and that is different. That is not gospel at all. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ who came to save us. And I cannot finish this sermon without mentioning. You can open your Bibles with me. In the same chapter, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, Paul goes on to say how we are to live if we want to live the real gospel. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." We're not slaves, we're called to be free. "But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as you love yourself." Whether your neighbor is pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, whether your neighbor is pro-mask or anti-mask or pro-abortion or anti-abortion or whatever it is that the world is debating today, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because when we do that, the law of Christ is fulfilled. That is the real gospel. The same book, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, again, you will fulfill the law of Christ." Carry each other's burdens. Whatever is being heavy for someone else, go and try to help. If someone is struggling spiritually, try to read the Bible and pray with that person. If someone is struggling economically, try to find ways that person can get up again and find out ways of living to live well and find food to eat. If that person is sick, let's find ways that person can find health. Let us carry each other's burdens. That is the real gospel we're called to live. And lastly, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And see, brothers and sisters, it's not about circumcision or not circumcision or whatever we're debating today. It's about loving each other. It's about loving our enemy. It's about the good news of the Messiah, which is the real gospel, and what the Messiah came, his mission was when he came, his mission was to love us and to save us through his love. And he's calling us to do the same. So when we are free in him, and we decide not to follow this mission, and to walk away from that gospel, and from the gospel of love, we're putting ourselves into a position of slavery again. Slavery to sin, slavery to a wrong message that is not what the Bible says. So today is the day when God is calling us and giving us the opportunity. Let us do good to all people. Let us love our neighbor. Let us just help each other instead of tearing each other apart. May the love of God and his freedom be in our hearts today. We are no longer slaves. We have been freed by Jesus. Let us live our lives as we have been saved and rescued from sin. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for freedom in Jesus. Thank you for showing us what the real gospel is in this morning. Help us to keep studying your word and keep just showing your love to the word. Be with us as we go through this Christian life. And we know that the world is turning against the Bible and against you. But we ask for your grace and for your love and for your strength so we can be real Christians and we can proclaim that your love has freed us from slavery. Thank you for everything you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.